Salvete, salvete omnis, fratres, sorores, felix, dies solis. Greetings, everyone. Brothers, sisters, happy Sunday. This is your host, Tony Trus. You're watching, you're listening to Dies Solis on Sunday. And as you guys could hear, that beautiful song that not everyone may like, just because of the style, EDM style, hasn't been chosen by accident. It's the song that has been popular in the early 2000s by an Italian artist, and then popularized, especially in recent times, among the Germans and all the other nations to sing Ausländer raus, meaning that foreigners go out of the Europe, tying in with the growing anti-immigration sentiments all across the European nations. And as we could see in this past week, there are a lot of successes for political parties all across Europe, political parties that are very anti-immigration and anti-Muslim. Obviously, we are very well aware of the controlled opposition factor in here, that those parties most of the times will concentrate on the problem itself rather than the cause. They will talk a lot about the Muslims, how problematic they are, how violent they can be in Europe, all the crimes. They will never talk about who brought them in and who is behind this whole flooding of our countries with the hostile invaders. So that's just something to have in mind. Obviously, the sentiments are very organic. I think that the Jews can no longer control even the normies in selling them that it's just refugees and they need to help them. No longer works on a mass scale. It's becoming more and more fringe to actually believe in that. It's rather predominantly still in existence among just radical leftists, people who are extremely brainwashed with mainstream propaganda in regards to those cases. Unfortunately, also a certain very Christian people who just are deeply embedded in that Christian subversion of modern times, and unfortunately, as we all know, there is a lot of Christian charities and organizations who helped bringing all those invaders into our countries and are still doing it in some extent, going on the missions, making sure that all those people who hate us will survive and that they will then have a chance to infiltrate our countries. And of course, there is a lot of business that is still tied to flooding our countries with those invaders, and they will not stop simply because they get money, they profit of it. So sellouts is a universal factor. It's always going to be present, unfortunately. But leaving those fringes aside, it is very obvious that the people are tired of those immigrants and so-called immigrants, right, the invaders. And it's just harder and harder to live peacefully or just continue doing any normie activities with all those invaders around and committing all those crimes. So we had some victories in Germany and France and a couple of other countries. I know that Alternative für Deutschland, which is the main anti-immigration party, I think scored the second score in latest elections. So they're going to definitely have some we'll be able to put some pressure on German politics now, hopefully. So I think that it's not really wise for our people to cheer for complete destruction, because the further our countries are being destroyed, and especially when it comes to this organic structure, right, the more we have all those hostile invaders, and the more people we have brainwashed to just accept them, or the more of our people are being terrorized by them, it doesn't mean that they all of a sudden that our people will wake up just because it's getting worse and worse. Unfortunately, at some point, we are not going to be able to do anything anymore, right? Because we're just going to be very limited. And this is something to always have in mind. And those kind of victories, even though by mostly controlled opposition, can still be accepted as a positive outcome within our circles, and looked from a perspective as the sentiments, the rightful sentiments, finally getting through the mainstream, and now we no longer have to hide ourselves, at least in regards to not wanting the immigrants, right? That is still a problem in countries like Germany, for instance, that you just cannot express freely your anti-immigration sentiments. That if you don't want to welcome all these savage invaders, or you will call them this way, right? You will call them for who they are. You will call them invaders, or you will try to point out the violent crimes committed by them. You're risking facing some serious legal consequences. So eliminating this obstacle from our way is most definitely a success, and hopefully we'll be able to push it even more. So finally we can speak freely, and then we can concentrate on building our own communities and pursuing our own goals, political goals, and taking back our countries, and obviously always exposing those who have infiltrated our countries and who are destroying them from within. So by taking off this layer of taboo away from the immigration itself and of how dangerous the Muslims are, we now can spend more time and effort on exposing the Jews. So I think that that's a healthy way to look at it, right? Rather than just be not pleased by the fact that, oh, but it's controlled opposition and they don't call out the Jews. So always try to have a positive spin on the events. And I see that we have Giuseppe in the chat. Welcome, brother. I would like to take advantage of this opportunity and mention that I stream on Odyssey. You can find me on Odyssey using my name, Tonitrus, which is spelled Tonitrus. For those who are only listening to SFR, I welcome you to join my channel and say hi in the chat. Also, I have finally added methods of support on my Odyssey channel. So you can make it, whoever would want, they can make investment. All right, so we had a lot of interesting events also in relationship to our own circle. I don't want to say movement, because that's definitely not what it is at the moment. We had a pretty interesting debate, I believe that was on Friday, on Night Nation Review, hosted by Nick. As a matter of fact, he is also one of the hosts here on the speakfreeradio.com, so I'm pretty sure that most of the listeners are familiar with. The debate was really interesting, and the topic was optics should we care about the optics or should we not care about the optics, right? So they were invited, two representatives. One was a person who was arguing for good optics, and then the other person was arguing that optics don't matter and we shouldn't really care about them. One very interesting thing from that debate is that it is very apparent that optics itself, the term or the idea, is has variety of different understandings. And not all of... sometimes we can agree with each other in regards to sentiments and goals, what should be done, but we can be stuck on that particular label that we just disagree with the optics because we think that optics is something different, right? Or we have a different idea of what optics is. And before discussing anything like that, I think it's always the most productive to first give a definition to ourselves of what we are talking about and what we are discussing. So obviously optics, it comes from Latin, opticus, and that means relating to seeing, to a vision, sight. So something that you are able to see, right? So in that regard, if we're discussing about optics, we're discussing about how we are perceived to the outsiders or to anyone who is watching us, who is consuming our content or who's just comes across our people. And I think it should be very... It should be... a common sense that optics are extremely important because the way people view our perceive our content and what we have to say plays a tremendous role in how we can actually gain sympathy among the people, right? And how we can gain new supporters. So if we really don't care about the optics, that doesn't necessarily mean that we just don't care what others think about us, and we just say whatever we feel like. Rather, it means that we don't even consider that as a valuable factor. And so here is the most important difference. So someone who is caring about the optics doesn't necessarily mean that they are constrained with the opinions of others. Rather, we are just simply considering what is a good look for us as a movement. And us being healthy, for instance, or speaking coherently, or expressing certain important ideas to our people, or fighting for the good of our people, that in itself is good optics, because we are fighting for something virtuous, for something that people can relate to, for something that is just naturally good, right? Like, for instance, the physical health in itself, or good habits, for instance. All those things are part of good optics, but they are not good optics just for the sake of being liked by the masses or by the people, because that's a completely whole different story. If someone wants to have good optics by all means necessary, and they will do whatever it takes to be liked by others, right? And so they will just adjust their language, adjust their message to the masses, which obviously, as we know, they are absolutely subverted, just so he can gain popularity or sympathy. Obviously, if that would be the case, we wouldn't be here, right? We would have some it's so easy to just start repeating all those slogans and talk against racism and against anti-Semitism, against sexism and transphobia and homophobia, and have your rainbow flag in the background and proclaim yourself that you are a tolerant individual and throw all those meaningless labels, right? It's really easy to do that if all you care is just gaining popularity or just not stirring controversy among the subverted masses, or gaining sympathy of the big corporations, right, and overall corporate world. So optics doesn't mean that you don't care about anything else. Optics simply mean that you consider that factor as something relevant, and you try to be the best version of yourself and to work really hard on our movement in order to produce those good optics, right? For people to actually be able to see something positive within our circles, to feel that energy, that positive energy. And then if we actually will analyze that other extreme, right, that opposite extreme, people who claim to not care about the optics, they actually have way more in common with people who only care about the optics and will do anything to be liked, and anything, will say anything to be perceived positively by the masses, because they will just do everything possible to be edgy, right? They will do everything possible to stir controversy, to be in the spotlight. So at the end of the day, both of those sides are playing for the public, and all they care about is optics. They just have two completely different strategies, right? Two extremes. One wants to fit in, and the other purposely wants to be the edgelords. And they just want to be perceived as those fuck the system kind of guys, right? And nothing else matters. They just want to be those clowns, and that's pretty much what it boils down to. So that's always something to have in mind when considering optics, that there's just no escape from that. Either way, the optics will get you, right? Either way, if you are putting content out there, there are some eyes who are looking at you. So it's impossible not to consider how those people will perceive you. And it's impossible really to just completely ignore this, because at the end of the day, if you would ignore that, then why would you make content, right? It doesn't make any sense, because you're making it for someone. You're not making it just for yourself, for your own amusement. I don't think that talking to a camera is necessarily amusing, or speaking to a mic. There's a purpose for doing so. So if you're already at that step in producing content, then inevitably everyone is taking into consideration what is going to be an outcome of that of such an action. In the same manner as doing any other option, right? Performing any other action. And in this regard, I think that we can completely disregard that kind of a fuck your optics side as a self-serving group of people who really just wants to be in the spotlight. They don't really care about the outcome. They don't care about anything else, rather than precisely, and maybe ironically, than than optics itself, right? Because that's their own marketing strategy. That's their own way for to be noticed by others, to say fuck the optics and to play the role of this edgelord on the internet. And now, I think also a common misconception is that our enemies don't care about the optics. They just do whatever they want, and they have terrible optics. So in a way, they do have terrible optics. If we look at the modern shape of them, all this child grooming, all the sexual degeneracy, and all the insanity, right, that we see on the left. The problem here is that you're not taking into the account the whole process, how we got in this place in the first place. Obviously, all of that started with very carefully crafted optics to the masses, right? So they would want to appear as people who are persecuted or who deserve some sympathy, people who need to be heard, people who are disadvantaged, people who are fighting for the rights of others, right? And that's still the case if you really think about it. You see always those that narrative of oppressed minorities and people who are just being disadvantaged, and we need to take care of them. So that was a coordinated effort in all institutions, in the religion, in schools, in academia, in politics, in entertainment, movies. Those are good optics in the sense that they really get into the masses and they really create that sympathy. They make their own case, right? They fight for their own case. Whereas if we just exhibit a certain obnoxious behavior and we just want to show how edgy we are and how aggressive we are in regards to others, or how there's just throwing insults at people and getting drunk and doing drugs and not doing anything productive. First of all, leaving aside the most obvious thing, that that's just not a healthy way to live and not a healthy way to build anything, obviously, not even your own life, let alone the society. It's a surest way to not ever gain any sympathy from people. You're literally getting into that Jewish stereotype that was built for us by the Hollywood movies, right? This street Nazi thug, someone who has zero compassion, someone who doesn't care about anything else other than himself, someone who is just a violent and obnoxious individual, someone who is a drug addict, someone who is filled with vices and weaknesses. And if you're purposely are playing into that role, that role created by the Jews, then all you do is just put a lot of attention on yourself and without any positive outcomes, most definitely without any not building any sympathy for yourself, not building any sympathy for your people, not really representing anyone, definitely not in a positive, in a fruitful manner. So that's why it's so imperative for us as people to finally put a big stop to this kind of a play, right? It's just nothing else but a grift. It's literally a role that some of those people play just to be in a spotlight and nothing else. There's just never going to be anything positive coming out of it. And then on the other hand, we can compare it easily to certain positive examples, like obviously National Socialist Germany, right? How they have created those good optics, how they really were people of good habits, of good style, and great discipline, great philosophy, and so on. That's how you build resistance. That's how you build a movement on a bigger scale. And that's how you gain the masses. That's how you conquer the hearts of the masses. So, in a way, arguing for whether good optics are essential or not, it's ridiculous. Because it just should be a common sense. Now, with the last problem that is present here with in regards to the whole optic term and how can it be misunderstood is through the prism of so-called optic cock. Someone who's just afraid of being perceived in one way or the other. And there are some legitimate people like that. And obviously there's many of them among conservatives and so on, right? So people who may have healthy instincts, who may really be tired of all the problems that we are facing with non-Aryan people, the invaders flooding our countries and so on. But they just are convinced that pointing it out or using certain words, it's just bad optics and they will not do it and they are just policing themselves. Note that this is something completely different because they are playing into the mainstream narrative, something that is not at all part of the definition of the optics. Good optics doesn't mean that you're trying to be digestible by the masses through the prism of the mainstream narrative. Rather, good optics is a more general term, right? That you're just trying to present yourself in a good manner. So, ditching that mainstream narrative altogether doesn't mean that this in itself is bad optics, because you're showing that you don't believe in any of the mainstream belief system, right? You can obviously be very well perceived just by the way you act, by your character, by the way you speak, by the way you dress, by the way you conduct yourself, by your character, everything, right? So really, this is just not, it's a very ill understood problem in regards to this optics. It's a misconception that someone who fights for good optics means that they want to subject themselves to the mainstream narrative. That's not at all the case, and that doesn't mean that someone is afraid of using certain words either, right? It should be obvious too that there's a difference between not being afraid of using certain words and overusing them, deflating them by just it's to the point that, you know, so some of those people who overuse those words, they just want to virtue signal to their audience that, oh, I'm not afraid, you know, let me show you how I'm not afraid, and let me say you, you know, let me tell you nigger, right, all the time, because I want to make sure that you know that, oh, I'm not afraid. So here we can see clearly how this person is obsessed with optics. It's just a different kind of optics that he's aiming for. But nonetheless, that's the same problem with just doing whatever the audience wants him to do and stopping there, right? Nothing else. Just like with those people who want to subject themselves to the mainstream narrative, they just don't want to have any problems, so they will say whatever the audience wants them to the mainstream, right? The audience, the normies, wants to hear. They will repeat all those nice sounding slogans, and they will stop there. There's just no goal in it. There's nothing that can come positive from those kind of actions. And I see that we have Walter Mauser in the chat. Welcome, brother. By the way, for those who are watching, I do apologize for the light in my studio. I'll have to find some covers. The sun is really getting very nasty. Something that I was not prepared before. So now, finishing off with this optics topic, I believe it's very important to point out something that is very rarely talked about in our circles. And that's mainly the morality, how a person is moral. So obviously, morality can be perceived in different manners, right? There's a subverted morality, and then there's the true morality that we fight for. Now, here's the problem. Just because someone is aware of certain problems in modern times, and someone who may be fighting against censorship or overall problems that we're facing, it doesn't necessarily mean that that person is moral. They have good enough judgment to realize certain things, to not be fooled by the mainstream narrative. We can definitely give him credit for that. However, morality is something more than just the mere overall healthy instincts, right? Or just recognition of certain dangers. Morality, obviously, is overall a good character. Morality is the way you conduct yourself, the way you... whether you actually care about your people, or are you just aware of certain things and you're not planning to do anything, right? Or are you just planning to use that knowledge just for your own benefit, for self-serving purposes. So it may be controversial, but if you really think about it, it is true that a lot of leftists are more moral than so-called our guys who are out there, you know, producing the so-called pro-white content. The difference here is obviously that those moral people on the left are moral, are using that subverted morality, but they really care. They just were duped into thinking that white people are just evil and they need to fight against them, right? Because they are the problem. They are creating all those ills in the world. They are making all those poor minorities poor and oppressed and so on. And sometimes they see a lot of problems around them, the same things that we recognize. But because they are so deeply brainwashed, they are just able to always blame the whitey, right? And perhaps also oftentimes is the case that they are just not able to recognize the differences between the Jews and the whites. And that's most certainly the case in regards to that conflict that we see right now in Palestine. A lot of leftists, they have really big heart. They really care. They go out there, protest whatever is happening in Palestine. But they were so brainwashed to always see whites as the problem, as the oppressors, and to know the history, the anti-white history of the white colonizer, right? The white people who just always did all those minorities wrong and they took their lands and so on. So they are viewing this conflict in Israel and Gaza, between Israel and Gaza, as just yet another instance of a white colonizer hurting brown people. But they really care about the atrocities, about the cruelty, right? They're not okay with it. So they are moral people. They are just deeply subverted. And now if you look at our guys, a lot of times they just don't care about anything. Not even about their own people. They are smart enough, or at least they have strong instincts to recognize what is going on, to see that the Jew is actually running the world. Or maybe, you know, sometimes it's not even the question of being smart, rather just them being taught by someone, right? Them being in a good environment of people who were able to point out those obvious truths that we all know. And those people who just simply turn it into an entertainment industry, right? And just mock all the political situations and get drunk and do a lot of drugs and just, you know, want to be very edgy. They are not moral people by any means. And like I was already pointing out, and I think in the last stream, the proof is in the pudding, right? There is unfortunately a lot of very infamous cases of people with a lot of dirt on them, and a lot of that stuff is surfacing out on the internet. And I'm not talking about rumors, obviously. We don't care about some rumors, rather just actual things that are confirmed, right? That some individuals had legal problems, some individuals were trying to sleep with minors, you know, and things like that. And all those streamers then, you know, attacking each other, there's no integrity within those circles of entertainers. They will gladly appear on the internet and start attacking the other streamer who was their fellow streamer. They were friends before, but now they just see an opportunity to take advantage of this, of the situation of vulnerability of that person who made some mistakes. And now they are going to go against him, right? Just to gain popularity and to gain sympathy that, oh, you're going after this guy who did some bad things. So that's an unfortunate scenario of those circles. Unfortunately, you cannot really count on the morality of those people. And as long as those people dominate our scene and this kind of content, you know, of just constant fooling around, joking around, without any merit and without any seriousness and without any intellectualism, without any serious plans what to do moving forward, and without any deeper understanding of those very important issues like morality and how to build high trust society and so on, we'll just always be in this same position as we are right now. We are just going to be a fringe minority, fringe buffoonery, right? Collectively as people, that no one will take seriously, no one will have any sympathy for, and unfortunately we will always we'll always scare off those people who potentially could be on our side because they are highly moral individuals, and now they are starting to see through the propaganda, but then they see all this highly immoral activities on our side, and they just know that that's not the proper environment. And now, I'm not just theorizing on this, because in a way, I also told here my own story. That's precisely how I was always in the background. I just never could be inspired by those popular activists and streamers to do anything meaningful, or to reach out to them, or to be part of the movement. So I know firsthand how someone who deeply cares about morality and about really fighting for our people, not just, you know, saying a lot of things, not just talking about it, not just using the current situation to gain popularity on the internet or so on. I know that this kind of environment is something that really just blocks any motivation in you as a person who wants to do something positive. And now, I know that there are some people who actually are coming into our movement from that other side, from other extreme, so-called, right, from the far left, you'd be surprised that there are even people, some rare cases, obviously, that's not going to happen often, but there are some extreme cases of people who were part of Antifa, who were part of those far-left terrorist groups who hated the white people. And the reason why they were there, precisely because they were just brainwashed and had a misconception of morality. But that highly moral character of theirs, it was always present, right? They always deeply cared about morality. And it was easy for them to view us as the bad guy, as this Hollywood-painted street Nazi thug who's the enemy number one by the way some of our people are conducting themselves, right? If you see someone abusing drugs, if you see like this Boneface character, for instance, there is just no way that any normal person will think that this is a serious movement, that those people are trying to make a change, make a positive change, that they care about morality, or that they care about anything else other than just being those edgelords, right? That just being causing problems in society. So that's something important to realize, and that's also the other reason why optics are so important, because we want to deconstruct that anti-white brainwashing as much as possible. And if we can gain some people from that opposite extreme, I think that's absolutely positive, right? Overall, the less people are against us, the better. We cannot afford to make everyone around us hate us even more. Or we cannot even afford to not do anything about all those masses who already hate us. There's just too many of them. And this is precisely building this momentum for the Jews, the same one that was present in building the Soviet Union. Demonizing the core elements of the society. In the case of Soviet Union, they would demonize all the middle class of Russia, all the Russian landowners, all the Russian people that would just present certain level, right, of certain economical level, educational level, and so on. And they would present it to the masses, to the blind populace, to all those so-called working class, that, oh, you know, like, those people are oppressing you because they are better off than you. They own some lands. They have some education. They don't let you have any land. They don't let you have education. They don't let you into universities. So that way, they will have the whole group of attack dogs that will do whatever the Jew will tell them to do, and they will destroy those who stand in the way of completely taking over the country, right? And that's exactly what happened in Russia. Now, we have the same conditions all across the Western world, and especially in the United States, where with the only difference that instead of the working class, we just have all those so-called minorities, right? All the non-Aryan people, all the invaders, or just all the non-Aryan populace that there is in those countries. And in the case of United States, it's obviously the sub-Saharans that are deeply convinced that they were oppressed, they were slaves, and now they need to rebel against their old masters, right? And they need to take back what was theirs, and that they built the country, they built this country. So it's actually theirs, so they are just going to take what is rightfully theirs. This is a very dangerous situation, because we are really close to that point where Jew can just activate all those people who hate us and completely destroy us,
completely wipe us out. So then they can take possession of the whole country, right? They just always want to have more. That's just their nature showing how greedy they are. They never have enough. They will always want to have more power. Obviously, the moment we're gone, none of those masses realize that they are next, right? That the moment Jews will no longer need them, then they will just discard them or turn them into slaves again, right? Because obviously the Jews were the original slave owner. They are the ones who brought the sub-Saharans into America in the first place. So this is extremely important to realize that the gravity of the situation, the seriousness of the situation. And at this point, you should not only be pissed at whatever you see within the system, but also pissed at all those people who claim to be on our side, but don't care about the so-called optics, right? They will tell you with a straight face that, oh, optics don't matter because, you know, I'm just going to wait for the Jews to just do whatever they do, and then somehow we will regain the power from the ashes. That's not how it works. The more power we'll lose, the less chances we stand in the long run to do anything, right? How we would be able to expose the Jews if we wouldn't have all those platforms? And the reason why we have those platforms right now, like Odyssey on Twitter, for instance, with, let's say, somewhat freedom of speech, right? That there is certain amount of freedom of speech on those platforms. The only reason why we have that is because right now they still need to appease us somehow. They still are aware that we are the majority within our countries, right? Every single of our countries is still majority Aryan. They still didn't manage to flood it to the point that we are minority. They cannot wait for that time. They want to do that. They always are very excited, right? Whenever they see all those statistics that our birth rates are declining, and then there are more and more invaders flooding and just producing a lot of children. So, and also there's a race mixing factor and all those things that just gets us closer to becoming a minority. So this is something to realize. We don't want to wait until it's too late. We don't want to wait until the times that we are actually minorities within our own countries. We can easily see the example of Haiti. We can easily see the example of South Africa or Rhodesia. South Africa obviously is still defending itself. They have wonderful community, Orania, which is only white community. It's a small community, so definitely not. It's not going to be able to sustain itself, or, well, maybe it would be able to sustain itself, but it's not going to be able to defend itself from the whole horde of the rest of South Africa, right? So that's something to have in mind, that there is all this dangers coming from all the angles, and that's why we need to get serious, finally serious, and really be tired, or just rather exhibit zero tolerance for all those people who don't want to get serious, right? For all those people who potentially are self-serving grifters. Now, obviously, this is an accusation that is not necessarily that easy to prove. If you accuse someone of being self-serving or, you know, selfish or a grifter, it's not easy to go by with it, just because you don't want to necessarily create drama within the movement, right? You don't want to have negative relationships with everyone. You don't want to use your all energy on those personal attacks. But just theoretically speaking, it's really easy to imagine that surely enough there have to be some people that have nothing to lose and see this whole movement as an opportunity if they will just be edgy enough and in the spotlight. Then they can gain popularity, then they can gain some support, right? And they can stay afloat. So theoretically speaking, you can clearly see that this is a very likely scenario that there are some people like that out there. Now, it doesn't really matter who exactly is such a person, but it is important to not tolerate this kind of behavior. Some people maybe are able to change, you know, if they are exhibiting certain properties like that. And maybe some people are just really not our guys and are here for wrong reasons, whatever that can be. We finally have to push for a highly moral stance and for care for our people and for something bigger, for uniting ourselves and for having that deep sense of responsibility, right? Building things collectively, building our movement collectively, and not just being in an internet celebrity that will self-serve himself. All right, this is top of the hour. We are past the first hour of the show. And as a reminder, this is Dies Solis on speakfreeradio.com. And I'm your host, Tonitrus. Now, one other factor to consider also in regards to optics is the anecdotal scenario, meaning that what makes normies, I think, oftentimes is taking anecdotal information for granted, right? Whatever they hear on the media, they just assume that they probably just don't think about it too much. They just accept whatever is served to them on a silver platter. It's intellectual laziness. And because it has such a wide social acceptance and it's so ubiquitous coming from all the institutions, right? That it's not just that, oh, one media outlet will tell you something. It's all coordinated with all the other institutions, academia, school, politics, entertainment, and so on. And obviously, most importantly, unfortunately, the religion itself, right? Unfortunately, the modern churches will never go against overall narrative that is presented against the white people. I've never heard of an instance that church will go out of their way to defend the white people, or that they will talk about the Jews. Maybe there are some individual instances of really courageous priest or a courageous pastor who will go out of his way, and despite the overall trends within the churches, he will say something like that. But overall, as a general rule, they do not talk about those things. We can never count on religion, on the churches, that they will actually deconstruct the modern narrative. They don't concentrate. As a matter of fact, more oftentimes, they are more interested in keeping people idle, in keeping people away from this role of fighting for their people, right? And pushing them even deeper into this deeply subverted mindset of, oh, helping others, right? The missions in Africa, that you need to help those people because they are poor. So the reason why I'm saying this is to realize this very, very inconvenient fact that there is not a single institution that is on our side. Therefore, a normie will just conform to wherever there is in this echo chamber, right? It's coming from all the sides, so it's just something that's how it is, you know, and they're just not going to question it. And in a way, you know, at some point, probably most of us were normies to some point, because it's just so easy to absorb this kind of narrative. It's just not a default for people to question everything around them. And especially if it's just any narrative that would go against it, or any deconstruction of the narrative, rather, is very successfully blocked by the system and smeared and presented in a very unappealing manner. So now in such a case, this doesn't change the fact that the way that all that narrative is being accepted by the people is through the anecdotal manner, right? And they assume that if someone heard something about certain event, that you're just relying on that. On that anecdotal instance, in the sense that if for instance, if you just learn that there's a lot of Jews in the Biden's administration, that then you just jump into the conclusion that, oh, Jews run the world, just because it happened to be that there's a lot of Jews in Biden's administration. They have very hard problems. A lot of people have big problem understanding activity that is based on connecting the dots, right? So it's not only that you're concentrating on that one fact alone, that the one fact is enough for you to come into this conclusion. Rather, this is just yet another big dot for you to connect with other dots that build a much larger picture. And therefore, giving you confidence that that's definitely the case, because there's just way too many of those dots that you have already connected in order for that to be just an illusion, right? And the same thing goes with overall judgment in regards to people. If you observe certain undesired behaviors in someone, and that you want to disqualify him from being a positive addition to the movement, or to being an asset, it's not about the fact that you're just so intolerant that the mere fact that someone drinks or does something puts you off so much that you just don't want to hear anything else, and you just want to assume that he is a malicious element of the movement. Because you don't know how much that person knows, right? You don't know how many dots that person have already collected. And if there is yet another big dot for that person to connect, then it's just easy for that person to come to that conclusion that, okay, well, that person must be a bad actor, because there's just way too many dots that I have already connected, right? It's maybe something that is not that easy to explain, but I think it's very important to understand this broader picture of analyzing the reality and analyzing characters of people and overall phenomena that are surrounding us. Also, one thing that I have noticed is, especially in regards to normies, it's a very common thing to assume that you have been brainwashed by something, right? So, especially now that we see those anti-immigration sentiments growing all across Europe, and overall all across the Western world. It's a very common thing for a normie to just assume that, oh, well, you know, there are those far-right politicians who put on those claims and they present certain narratives. So surely enough, you had to be brainwashed by that narrative, right? You just listen too much to that narrative, and now you just truly believe in that, and that's how you came to your views, right? Rather than accepting the actual truth that comes from all those institutions surrounding us, the educated people and, you know, science and all this stuff. So that yet again shows the limitation of those people, that they just rely on outsourcing the information from others, and they are not capable of analyzing the information themselves. They're not capable of connecting those dots, right? So they don't understand that those anti-immigration politicians are not coming out of nowhere. They are not just some malicious actors or villains that all of a sudden gain popularity just because of the people's ignorance. Rather, they are the system's way of reacting to the organic sentiments, anti-immigration sentiments, and they are just throwing someone out there to appease them. And oftentimes, unfortunately, those people are absolutely terrible characters. Excuse me. Absolutely terrible characters. Like, for instance, and I don't want to be controversial in our circles, but I just cannot hide that Donald Trump is absolutely terrible character. He's a materialist. He is a sellout. He married his children to the Jews. He was lying. He was pretending that he's our guy, but he's not. And hopefully that's not a controversial statement to say that he's just an awful character. Obviously, there's many awful characters in the politics, almost all of them. So by no means I'm trying to say that he's better, that he's worse than Biden. Obviously not, but overall, all those politicians are terrible. The same goes with this guy from Netherlands. Overall, you know, Milei from Argentina, right? Who is presented as some sort of big libertarian who is going to make Argentina great again and so on, but in reality he is just yet another Jewish puppet, if he is not Jewish himself. I know that he's talking about converting himself to Judaism. He obviously has been spotted kissing the wall just like Donald Trump and everyone else. So those are really terrible characters. They will do whatever it takes, right, to get that high social status, to get the money, to just kiss the ass of the right person. In this case, obviously, it's the Jewish ass. So the normie sees that those character flaws. They sees how terrible those people are. And then they are truly puzzled why people would support such a guy, right? And they, in a way, even some of those normies feel pity to the supporters of those people, because they think that they are so easily manipulated that they have been brainwashed by those terrible characters. And they cannot understand that people like us actually do not support those people, that we see them for who they are, and we maybe were fooled in the past by thinking that they may represent some of our interest, but we most definitely do not derive our political views or our overall feelings and sentiments from anything that those people say, right? As we all know, Donald Trump never said anything positive about white people. He never preached to white people specifically, right? That, oh, you know, like, we are going to help out the white Americans. Just like anyone else in modern times, he did try to appease all the other people, right? Like the lower record black unemployment, or Hispanics for Trump, gays for Trump, right? So I think that this whole scenario exemplifies perfectly how the normie mindset operates, how limited it is, and how they have completely skewed vision of reality. They are just truly convinced that we are some sort of gullible fools that are swallowing some of the hateful propaganda, right? And that we are somewhere in the dark, just being part of the cult of some dark characters like Trump, and we just believe him so much. And obviously Trump is Hitler, so we just align with him perfectly, right? Because we are as Nazi as he is. The amount of dots is unbelievable. I've been noticing the dots for 30 years and always finding new ones. Walther Mauser. Okay, yeah, that's a fair assessment, and I highly agree with that there's always new dots to be found. They're never ending. There's so many of them that it's impossible to uncover them all. And I'm assuming that you're referring especially to all the Jews that are out there subverting our nations. And the land of 420, welcome, brother. Every politician must bend a knee to Zog. Yes, definitely. And it's also quite telling how not only ubiquitous it is in regards to the political parties, because we see that obviously in America, right, that it doesn't matter if it's Republican Party or Democrat Party. It doesn't even matter if those are smaller parties like Libertarian Party. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Libertarian Party just recently have chosen this terrible character for their presidential candidate. His name is Chase something. Forgot his last name, but his name is Chase. He is a complete faggot. This guy was wearing a mask during COVID. I think he's literally a faggot, actually. He supports drag queen story hour for kids because he claims that that's a part of the liberties, right? And the libertarians stand for liberty, so therefore they need to allow those demonic deviants to have access to our kids. That's how they perceive the freedom nowadays. But he did go out of his way to condemn any of the reasonable slogan, right, like defending our borders, for instance, that, oh, you know, like, borders are just in a way of the liberty, you know, like, if people want to come to America, let them come, you know, let the free market decide. We can see how libertarianism is truly a tool created by the Jews in order to sway our natural liberty oriented mindset into the wrong direction, right? And into want all those things that go against our interests, and be blind, you know, always blinded to our own interests. I think that this is something that actually is very universal if you think about it, because libertarianism, just like the Christianity, especially the modern one, just like the overall mainstream politics, right? Everything has this one thing in common. They all preach blindness in regards to our own race, that we can never collectivize. That's never an option. it's either highly immoral or it goes against the freedom, or it's just there's always some reason not to do that, right? So if it's so universally blocked, then we know that that's the way to go, because that's something that the Jews afraid the most, right? So I think it's a little bit foolish to be conscious in regards to the Jewish question, but be against the white nationalism and not preach the Aryan unity and overall the uniting our people and fighting for their own interest. I think that that's one of the main things here to preach for and to fight for. The Land of 420 says, Chase Russell Oliver. Yes, correct. That's the presidential candidate coming from the Libertarians this year. Born on August 16th, 1985, is an American political activist, sales account executive, HR representative, and nominee of the Libertarian Party for the 2024 United States presidential election. Oliver was the Libertarian candidate for the 2022 United States Senate election in Georgia. Chase Oliver, the Libertarian Party's nominee for president, is a woke leftist. Oliver, a 38-year-old openly gay former Democrat, was chosen as the Libertarian Party's nominee. Right. I like how many of those big words are close together, right? Openly gay, former Democrat, chosen. Yeah, very telling. Obviously, they are trying to monopolize the whole political scene and give us no option. I think it's also just giving us no hopes, right? Kind of like forcing us to conclude that, well, you know, there's nothing else. We have to vote for Trump. He's our guy, you know. Well, you know, there's just no one to vote for, so we just have to accept the modern narrative. We just have to conform to the modern times, right? And to change our own views because we don't have any representative of the politics. That's usually how it works. And I do appreciate you, the Land of 420, to share all this news about that very questionable character from Libertarian Party. Yes, truly shocking, Walther. I'm shocked as well. And now, if we go even further and we look at the whole white world, right? The all the other white countries. It doesn't matter if it's Australia, South Africa, obviously the whole Europe. We just see all the strengths being the same all across the board. Even Latin America, obviously, a lot of people tend to forget that Latin America, in a way, is also part of our world. Most definitely, every single country in Latin America was created by our people, right? Mostly the Spaniards. There was not a single country that have existed before the Europeans came to Americas. Even a country like Guatemala, I know it's hard to believe, but there is just not a single country like that. The problem, obviously, with Latin America is that in most cases, whites are minority in there. In some countries, to the point that there are almost no white people whatsoever, right? Like Guatemala is a perfect example. There's just a tiny minority of people with Spanish descent living there, but not a lot of them. So it's really hard to think of those countries as our countries or as white countries. They're no longer that. Maybe in some way, they were never really our countries, in a sense of definitely not cultural sense, not demographic sense. But then there are countries like Argentina or Uruguay, right? Those countries are definitely white countries. As a matter of fact, probably they are more white than some of the modern European countries being flooded by the non-whites. And if we include those countries as well into the global scene, then we yet again observe the same scenarios, right? Just like with Mexico recently, this Jewish woman has won presidential elections in Mexico. And funny enough, actually, I do know some people who live in Mexico, and they are very aware of the political things there. Actually, as a matter of fact, some of the people living in Mexico, you would be surprised, they are truly our people. They are people of Spanish descent. They live pretty isolated from the overall populace, and they are capable of maintaining themselves, you know, pretty well, despite the overall situation of the country. And I have just spoken with them in regards especially to that presidential candidate. They did tell me that there is a lot of suspicious things that it's feels to every Mexican that they at least know that the election was absolutely fraudulent. And apparently a lot of Mexicans feel this way, that there's something off with that elections. And there's record high assassinations of a lot of different candidates. So that in itself is quite telling, right? That the Jews are the true terrorists. They will go out of their way to eliminate any political opposition. They just, the moment they can get away with it, or they think that they can get away with it, they have no problems with committing those kind of actions, like assassinations. And there were a lot of them in Mexico before those elections, or during those elections, rather. And that Jewish candidate who supposedly won the presidency is apparently not very well known. She doesn't even come from a party that is very well respected. And all of the parties were joining forces against her, apparently. So she was running against the whole Mexican establishment, in a way, at least that old establishment, and somehow she just magically won. That's definitely a very fishy story. And it seems like the Jews sense the situation, right? That they now they are during the warfare, now they have to do whatever it takes to win all over the world, and they will use whatever it takes to guarantee themselves that win. And it certainly feels that way, that's the case in Mexico. And as a matter of fact, one thing that I know about Mexicans is that they do not like the Jews. I think that they have been injected with that healthy skepticism or counter Jewish narrative from the Spaniards back in the days. Obviously, many of the modern Mexicans have Spanish blood in them. Majority of Mexicans are mestizo, meaning that they are a mix of Spaniards with the local Indian populations, right? Then there's like 10% of truly white people, maybe a little bit less, that have 100% European descent. And then there's also a significant amount of people who are just pure Indian people, especially in the south of the Republic. So Mexicans are heavily influenced by Spaniards, obviously. They obviously speak a version of a Spanish language, even though it's a very, you can compare it to the, you know, Ebonics of the United States, right? The Spanish that the Mexicans speak is similar to the English that the Sub-Saharans in America speak. So it's really not a pleasing sound, especially for someone who's a Spaniard like myself. Hearing Mexicans speak Spanish just hurts my ears. They butcher the language left and right. I really do not appreciate the way it sounds. But regardless, they are very heavily influenced by the Spaniards, very heavily mixed with the Spaniards, some of them to a greater extent, some of them to a lesser. So it is very clear to me that they have been injected with that true Spanish spirit of not trusting the Jew. And it's definitely pretty common to see Mexicans just openly expressing their dislike to the Jews, and even sympathy in regards to the Germany and obviously to Hitler. And there are even many heavy metal bands in Mexico that dress up in SS uniforms and Zeke Heil on the scene. And it's not viewed really controversial there just because this kind of ideology has wide acceptance in Mexico. And obviously they just have very limited understanding of it. There's just a lot of ignorance overall. So it's not that they are fully our guys or anything like that. But just overall, I think that it's very interesting how different Mexicans in Mexico are than Mexicans in the United States who are already have been devoured by that Jewish schooling system here in the United States, right? It's definitely different in Mexico. They did not have such a big my understanding, at least, is that they did not have such a big emphasis on this whole World War II Jewish narrative in Mexico, and therefore they just aren't that brainwashed on that subject. And aren't that easily triggered when it comes to the Nazi stuff and all those things. So, given all those facts, it is even more surprising to hear that the Jewish candidate would win in Mexico. And I think it's even more impossible. I would say that it's actually impossible. So, she had to receive some magical help in order to become president. There's just way too many weird things happening all across. Voter poll alert. Current support for all official U.S. presidential nominees March 27th to 29th, 2024. Joe Biden, 42%. Oh, no, sorry. 41% for Joe Biden. Yeah, I don't understand how someone can still support Joe Biden. I can understand more with Donald Trump, just because presentational-wise, he's definitely just seems better, right? Just optical-wise, I just cannot understand how people can be so blinded to support Joe Biden. But I assume that it's just a matter of all those invaders that were squeezed into our country to that they view Joe Biden as just a guy standing for their own interest, right? RFK Jr. only 8%, Cornel West 1%, Chase Oliver 1%. Yeah, that's obviously to be predicted, right? The Libertarian Party was always having very small support. I think it was always like 3% maybe at most. And given the fact that now they have this Chase Oliver faggot, I don't think he's going to gain more than 1%. Here, Villan of 420 is sharing some hot takes from Chase Oliver, the Libertarian candidate. Oliver supports ending American military aid to Israel and Ukraine. Huh. That's interesting. He has labeled the Israel-Hamas war as a genocide. He also supports the closure of overseas military bases. That's interesting. Openly gay libertarian Chase Oliver on gun rights. During a 2022 debate with Warnock, Oliver expressed his support for gun rights, stating armed gays are harder to oppress and they're harder to bash. Oliver opposes bans on bump stocks. Okay, well, there are some positive elements to him, I see. Although the argumentation is just hilarious. It's this typical libertarian wet dream, right? Of gay couple having their guns and defending their private property. It's absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, the guns should serve us as people to defend our people collectively and our families, not some homos. Chase Oliver on homelessness. Oliver supports removing regulatory barriers that prevent people and organization from feeding homeless people. Feed all the third world homeless invaders, Goyim. I'll have to read one more time. Oliver supports removing regulatory barriers that prevent people and organizations from feeding homeless people. Huh. Yeah, of course. I'm not surprised by that. Schooling has been dumbed down and made politically correct to assist Jews with more easily ruling over the Goyim, using the victimhood hierarchy pyramid with the Jews on the very top. Yeah, absolutely. Everything is just self-serving for them. Education doesn't mean anything. The purpose is not to educate us in anything, right? Maybe aside from some engineering schools, obviously, the system needs some skilled people. Some programmers, right, coders and so on, doctors. When it comes to just practical skill in the field work, then obviously the system just has no other choice than educating people just because they need skilled labor. But aside from that, education doesn't mean anything. Most definitely not in those lower levels or just the general education, right? Like whatever we had. For instance, in Europe, it's oftentimes we have a choice. When we finish the equivalent of junior high school in Europe, we can choose either a vocation school that is already oriented for a certain career, specific career that, you know, we want to be a construction worker or something like that, right? So we can already skip more of that general education and go straight into basis for that technical education, for the practical skill. Or we can go to a general education that supposedly prepares you for exams that will then let you into universities so you can obtain the higher education, right? And then you can become an artist, architect, or doctor. And unfortunately, I did not know any better as a kid. I was also brainwashed with this ideal of education being gold, right? And just having as much education as possible is the best. So I went to that general education for 3 years, meaning like the equivalent of high school in here. That was a complete waste of time. That was complete buffoonery. There is so much propaganda to praise European Union, to have those European Union values that would be presented as European values, which are the exact opposite, right? They are anti-European values. They would school us on the gay rights, you know, all those insanities. They would even take us to that was earlier. I think in junior high school, they would take us on a gay parade, right? Us kids, because that's part of education, right, in modern times. And we need to know how to be tolerant, how to be open-minded, and we need to understand all, you know, this sexual orientations, because apparently this is so important for you to grow as a man and to become a serious person in the future. And so in this regard, obviously, yeah, education is a complete joke. And full of propaganda. Obviously, history was filled with just Jewish kvetching, right? And some personal stories that obviously then turn out, most of them, to be false. As we all know, right? So many lies have been said about the Holocaust. So we literally have been forced to listen to some Jews talking about their families, how they were oppressed during Holocaust, how they managed to escape the Nazis, and how Nazis were evil, and never again, Goyim, never again. That was little emotional terrorism. It is emotional terrorism. Welcome, Henry Ford 88. What are you currently reading? Do you refer to the book club specifically? We have, to be honest with you, I have not started yet the new book from the club, so can't. I'll tell you in a second what kind of book we are reading right now for this month. And by the way, anyone who would like to join a book club, we have a book club on Telegram. Me and Zach from Logos Revealed. We have we read a book each month, different book each month, and then we have write a report on that, and we have a group chat, and we discuss that group. It's a very highly intellectual environment. There's a lot of interesting people there. Every single chat is very productive. A lot of interesting opinions. And for the June in the book club, we have On the Basis of Morality by Arthur Schopenhauer. That's the book. I was actually trying to get that book in a bookstore. Unfortunately, where I live, there's just no way of getting the physical copy, so I will have to order it online. But I heard a lot of good things about On the Basis of Morality, so I highly recommend it. And then actually, as a matter of fact, for the July, we have a very interesting book that I have already read. It's Crime and Punishment by the Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky. Really great book. I highly recommend for everyone to who hasn't read it yet. And speaking of that book club, actually, it's not just the mere reading of the books. It's not just discussing the book either. It's something more. It's building that culture from the ground zero, right? Since we are just talking about the education, how ill it is in modern times, and how we cannot count on the modern education to actually push us in the right direction, we need to do it for ourselves. So it is imperative for us to create those alternatives and to be capable to be self-disciplined and just impose on ourselves, right? All those things like reading the books, engaging in philosophical discussions, overall being always interested in the philosophy and the political aspects and just overall research things, watch interesting things, and obviously by that I don't mean some Hollywood movies, rather documentaries. That's also something that is irreplaceable just because you have all the visuals there too, right? So some of those video footages, like from World War II, for instance, I think it's very important for us to study them and to watch, to be familiar with all those footages. Just like from the recent events, right? It's always important for us to stay on top of things and to educate ourselves. There's no one who will do that for us. And by having this book club, it's just yet another alternative for the modern educational system, something that provides access not only to the club itself, but just to like-minded people, right? Where you can discuss the book, not being afraid of expressing your opinions and not being afraid of expressing your true political views. So that's something that is a rarity these days. Obviously, you're not going to find organically a book club where you can do that comfortably, just because you will always have a lot of normies that will not be able to tolerate, right, any truth. And also, for that matter, I highly encourage everyone to always try to search for an intellectual activity, even if it's not related with the movement itself. Like, for instance, learning languages. I think that this is a skill that is irreplaceable. If you learn a foreign language, and obviously I highly recommend especially Latin or German for those who are of German descent especially, you are activating some of the not previously used brain cells for this kind of activity to learn a foreign language. And you have, there's so many things that you have to practice simultaneously, right? Because it's not only your memory, it's not only the visual skill that you have to remember how the certain word is written, but also you need to train your hearing skills, your pronunciation, and so on. So by hearing those new that new language, right, those new sounds, and try to replicate it, you are giving your brain tremendous amounts of exercise that otherwise it's really hard to get elsewhere. And I think it's I don't want to say that it has been scientifically proven, just because it's especially in modern times a very ill-understood statement. It's a very abused statement, but there is a lot of studies that show that those who study foreign languages are less likely to be demented at the old age, and are less likely to have problems with memory and overall dysfunction with their brain, right? So that's, for the sake of exercise, it's definitely worth it. But then think about how useful it is to know another language, and how much better our movement would be if we would actually have a lot of people speaking different languages. Like, for instance, you know, someone who would teach himself German and would be able to be on top of the German politics, know what's going on there, not have to rely on the translations. Would be able to read books in their original form in German, right, by some great German authors or Austrian authors. Would be able to listen to Hitler's speeches in the original. So I think that there's just so many benefits coming from learning languages and knowing different languages that it's something overlooked, and something that is not, unfortunately, yet very common in our movement, and something that should become more common. Same with learning a musical instrument, good for the brain and spirit, soul. Absolutely, Walter, I highly agree. Unfortunately, I myself am not a musical person, but that's definitely a really great exercise, and also a really great skill to have. It would be wonderful in the future if we would have some musicians that would be able to make some compositions, and we'd be able to have our own musical scene, right? To start creating that organic culture that would be truly stemming from our people and representing our views. I think that that's something very important. Yeah, I highly recommend looking in the possibility of learning those languages, and if someone would struggle with a choice, what language should they choose, I personally would recommend classical Latin, specifically classical Latin. Obviously, all the law has been written in classical Latin and many great literature as well. As well as overall, the big chunk of modern vocabulary in all of the modern European languages, especially English, comes directly from Latin. As a matter of fact, English itself, even though it's a Germanic language, two-thirds of its vocabulary comes ultimately from Latin, either via French or just directly taken from Latin. So that just gets to show you how heavily influenced English is by Latin. It has more vocabulary. It has more Latin vocabulary than it has original Germanic vocabulary that would originate from the Old English language, right? And the Proto-Germanic language, ultimately. So, knowing Latin definitely helps you to be more. Ready for to combat the subversion of the linguistic subversion, right, that we see in the modern times, changing the meanings of the words. If you know the original, if you know the origin of the word, if you know the original meaning, then you're just better prepared to combat the subversion. And overall, I think it's a beautiful language. I think it's something that it's obviously a language of culture, of art, of law, and I have a tremendous respect for Roman Empire just because it managed to sustain itself for such a long time and expand our values on so many lands and defend Europe, right, from all the other outside forces. So Latin definitely should gain more respect within our circles. And I would also make this connection with the optics that were discussed in the beginning of the stream. The more intellectual we are, the more educated we are, the better optics are. Obviously, it's not to say that we educate ourselves just for the sake of the optics, but something to consider, right? Something that rightfully so is perceived by the masses as something positive, being educated, being well-versed on things, being wise, right? Having wisdom, having a lot of knowledge, being skilled in many things, being self-disciplined, being able to learn new things, and so on. And I think that the more people will start doing that in our movement, the harder it will be for the system to portray us as some sort of low-life outcast of the society, right? As some sort of malicious thugs. And it's so easy to do so just because we are overwhelmed by, unfortunately, very immoral elements, right? The drug addicts by some edgelords that don't care about their own health even. So that is something to have in mind, that even though we don't do that specifically for the optics itself, at the end of the day, if we will do those things for ourselves and for the sake of the progress of our own agenda and our own people and our own communities, then inevitably the optics will go along with it as well, right? And the optics will be just more positive, and there will be more acceptance of us as people representing this kind of views. There will be more acceptance for our views as well, and more sympathy. So the more sympathy people will have for our cause and for our people, and the more serious we will appear as collective, the harder times the system will have to demonize us, to keep demonizing us, and to go against us, and to, therefore, to use all their forces against us, right? to justify it somehow that, oh, you know, those are just dangerous Nazis. Those are people who are menace to society, so we have to get rid of them. That's not going to be that easy if we are actually going to accumulate finally those positive elements within our movement. All right, brothers, sisters, I appreciate your presence. This is now, we are getting close to the end of the speakfreeradio.com. I'll just read the chats really fast. Carl Vinlanderson, welcome, brother. Is it true that there are German words, phrases, concepts that do not directly translate to English? If so, this is great motivation to learn German to understand the speeches and read Mein Kampf in German. Absolutely, yes. That's actually the case with many European languages. English, as a matter of fact, is quite limited. For instance, English does not have a lot of productive suffixes to create diminutives and other forms. Something that is pretty ubiquitous all across the continental languages, like German, for instance, right? There's just absolutely no way of expressing a lot of things in English. Therefore, the translation will just reflect certain general meaning or general concept, but will not be really the, will not give the true essence of the phrase, right? Or even of a word. And we have Walter Mauser. You ever heard of this movement, Nova Roma? No, I have not. Thank you for giving me this website. Or at least, I do not believe so. I'll definitely check this. Seems like this is some sort of wiki page, right? With the heavily Roman-inspired theme. Looks very interesting. I will definitely check it out. All right, brothers, sisters, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm your host, Tony Trus, and this was the show Dies Solis on speakfreeradio.com. See you next week.
I still believe in your eyes. I just don't care what you've done in your life. Always be here by your side. Don't leave me waiting too long. Please come by. I still believe in your eyes. There is no choice. I belong to your life.